I'd like to turn your attention this morning, if I may, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. The term carpe diem is from a line in a poem written by the Latin poet, who was a Roman, by the name of Horace. Now, he actually has a great big long name, but just short name, Horace, that'll do. He lived in about 23 B.C., And the line actually is, let's see, where is it? There it is. Seize the present. Trust tomorrow as little as you may. Literally, seize the day. Now, the point of the poem is that a person does not know what the future may hold. So, he should make the most of what the person has at the moment. That's the idea. Now, for a Christian, it's not as much that the future is uncertain as that we don't know how much time we have. In James chapter 4, verses 13 and through 15, James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Life on earth at very best is not long. In Psalm 90, beginning of verse 9, David says, "For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Those are great words of wisdom there. Number our days. I don't think when we're young, we can really understand that. I mean, that never was a thought when I was young. But as you get older, you don't think seriously about initiating a 30-year mortgage because you don't plan on being around then. And you begin to think about those things, you know. You only have so many years in this life, and you have to number your days. Now, you may be granted to live a long life, and like many, and well, even of this congregation, have lived in their 90s. And that's a wonderful thing. But then again, we don't know. We don't have any assurances. But the main thing is that we have to understand our responsibility to do what we can while we have opportunity. One of the things that James points out is not to count on the future in order to make plans. Now, we make plans in the future, and we all do. Every one of us do. We have to plan for our retirement, whatever that is. Anyway, we have to plan for our retirement and plan for different things. But when we make these things, we have to understand that God has other plans in mind. But another application is that we should not do anything that involves putting off the doing of good. Putting it off till tomorrow. That's the idea. James 4, verse 17. Look at it carefully. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, he knows that this good is there to be done, and he knows that it's good, but he's going to do it tomorrow. Or he's going to do it next week. Or he's going to do it next month. No. You know that it's good, and if you don't do it, to you it is sin. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul said, "Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Notice two things here. First of all, we ought to do good as we have opportunity. When the opportunity presents itself, we're ready to do good. But our doing good has to have an emphasis. And what is it? Those of the household of faith. We do good to all men. We love our neighbor like we should. But above all, we do good to those who are of the household of faith. Now, keep in mind, you aren't guaranteed another opportunity. When the opportunity comes and you don't take it, you may let it pass and it may never come again. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Also, we have to understand the problem of time. While we have time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, the Apostle Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, this is a very important point here. People who say, "Well, the will of the Lord is not understandable. We can't understand it." It only those who are schooled in biblical studies can possibly understand the will of the Lord. No, that's not what that says. It says you can understand what the will of the Lord is. You must do it. Now, but what about this time business? He says you must walk carefully. Walk accurately, putting the definition in for circumspect. Walk carefully. Walk accurately. You don't have time to waste in sin. Think about that. You don't have time to waste in sin. Because why? Time is a very precious commodity. And you must use it wisely. Redeeming the time. Buying up the opportunity. Why? Because those opportunities are precious. They're precious. Don't waste it. But spend the time you have wisely. There's plenty of trouble in this world. And we don't want to spend any of our time wasted on it. In other words, buy up the time by giving up time wasters so we have more time to use profitably. But we need to also use our time to know what God wants us to do. Using your time to walk wisely, not only towards those within the household of faith, but also those who are outside the household of faith. Notice Paul's admonition in Colossians 4 and verse 5. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Now there's that phrase again, redeeming the time. Buying up the opportunity. But in this case, he talks about walking in wisdom toward those who are outside. We have an obligation to those who are not a part of the body of Christ, those who are outside the church, to walk wisely. Also, we have a responsibility to behave properly towards those who are within and without. In our scripture reading, which we read just a moment ago back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 through 9, notice the importance he puts on brotherly love. He says, you don't have any need that I write to you about this. You already know you're taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do so, not only towards each other, but towards the brethren who are in Macedonia as well. And then we urge you, brethren, increase the more and more that you aspire. Now notice, to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are, what? Outside. And that you may lack nothing. Now, we have a responsibility towards those who are in the body of Christ, yes. But we've got a responsibility towards those outside, too. We have to conduct ourselves in such a way that we are becoming the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they see the gospel living in us. And that they appreciate it for what it is. But also we noted that today is a day to work. Now's the only time we've got. Right now. Work with all our might. In Ecclesiastes, let's turn over there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Now, notice the wise man of old writing under the pseudonym of the preacher. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Now, some might look at that as, though, they're fatalistic. Well, you're going to die. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. He's just stating facts. Now you're alive. Today is the day you have. Now, what will you do with it? That's what he says. What are you going to do with it? Well, we are going to work whatever our hands find to do with all of our might. I think it's important for us to understand that he's talking about your job. You ever think about that? He's talking about your job. How you do your job. Now, if you do your job by putting all your might in it, what does that say to those in the world around you? They admire you. This is good. This person really puts themselves into their work. And then they will begin to ask questions. And you can tell them why you do it. Why you do it. In Colossians 3 and verse 23, Paul says, whatever you do, do it heartily. Here's why. As to the Lord and not to men. That's why. That's why you work as hard as you do, because you're working for the Lord, not just for men. Now, think about the other side of this coin. When you don't put all your might into your job, when you just do enough to get by, and you make sure that you don't give your employer a minute more than you have to, what does that say to the world? Well, you're just like everybody else. You know, boss comes in, oh boy, you're working real hard. Whenever he walks out of the room, you're doing the same old again. Yeah. You're just like everybody else. You're expected to show the world who you are by how you work. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9, Solomon says, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. He who is slothful in his work. We all know what a sloth is. You can't pick up a book or a magazine or watch TV and not know what a sloth is, because there have been all kinds of animations done that are pretty clever. Some of them actually look like they're portraying real people at the DMV. Terrible thing. But anyway, we know what they are. And you think of a sloth and you think of slow people. And he says, the sloth is what? Well, he's associated with a great destroyer. And that's true. That's true. Now, we don't have to be this way. We are obligated by God to not waste what we have. And what we have is ability. And we're not to waste it. We're to put it to the proper use. Now, this would refer to our talents, our opportunities, our possessions, all these different things that we have, to put them to good use. Now, to do this, we have to be self-motivated. In Proverbs 16, verse 26, Solomon writes, the person who labors labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. Yes, he knows that whenever he gets through working, he's going to get fed. That's motivation. But there is work for the Lord that is far more important. In John chapter 9, verse 4, listen to what Jesus said. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Even Jesus understood this principle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Paul talked about the race that he ran. And he said, don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Can you imagine that? The Apostle Paul being disqualified? Yet he realized the possibility was there. He realized it. And he realized how important it was for him to discipline himself to be able to attain to that which he was preaching. In Proverbs 26 and verse... Oh, I'm sorry. In Luke, there we are, chapter 9, verses 59 through 62... We have on this occasion here, Jesus speaking in parables, and he talks about the one man who gave excuses. You remember that? One said, oh, I got to go bury my father, and then I'll come and follow you. And another one said, oh, I've got to go and look at a field. But you know, Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Let the dead bury their dead. Don't worry about this. You have a responsibility to follow me. No excuses. You know, whenever people start making excuses for one thing and another, they're desperately trying to justify themselves desperately. But there's no good in that. Whenever they get through making excuses, that's all they've done. The real reasons that lie behind what's going on with them are still there. They're still there. They may have salved their own conscience a little bit, and in the minds of some who are uninformed and weak, they've justified themselves. But that doesn't solve anything. Doesn't solve anything. Also, we understand the responsibility not to dwell in the past. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ. And in doing this, we don't want to be sluggish. Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's very closely related to not lagging in diligence, isn't it? In Romans 12 and verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. But not only is today a day of work, today is a day to praise. The Lord made this day. In Psalm 118 and verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You can say that every day, can't you? Every day. You're alive. You are alive. So praise God. In Isaiah chapter 38, 18 and 19, Isaiah wrote, "For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. And the Father shall make known your truth to the children." Today, quite frankly, is the day of salvation. It's high time that we wake up. In Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, Paul wrote, "Do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, Paul says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "When then as workers together, are we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of the God in vain. In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In a very real sense, this is the only day we have. We don't have yesterday. It's already gone. We can't claim tomorrow because it ain't come yet. And it might not come at all. So, today is the day of salvation. Therefore, seize the day. Seize the day. Make full use of it. If you have not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not at this time give yourself an humble submission to His commands? Give yourself to Him and confess your faith in Him from a penitent heart. Be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. Rise up from that watery grave of baptism and newness of life. Seize the day. Today is the day of salvation. If you've done this, but unfortunately through the years, you've allowed yourself to drift and you haven't been faithful to the Lord as you should know you should be, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the time to confess your sin to God from a penitent heart. Ask Him to forgive you and ask your brethren to pray with you and pray for you in full assurance that He will hear and forgive you.